Shalakaya. Taksur Unmalitamyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindubhayebhyacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from upstate New York. Actually, I'm 2 minutes, 3 minutes from the Super Soul Farm, Raghunath's retreat center. And we have a full retreat for the Madhuram retreat. It's a very special retreat. I was actually speaking to Raghunath that maybe it's an advanced level even of a retreat. Because we're just surprised. We see people here, but when you see in the morning, everyone has bead bags. And this morning, I gave Bhagavatam class at 5 o'clock with Raghunath, because he. Then at 6 o'clock, I did a japa seminar. 7 o'clock, they have yoga. Then 9:30, Kasturba is giving Bhagavatam class. Then 11:30. I'm going to speak. So it's all Bhagavatam. Practically, it's a Bhagavatam retreat. And it's just amazing the extent that Krishna consciousness is now spreading in this area and the New York area. Amazing. I just can't imagine how many people are coming forward. And I'm staying with Gopal Chand and Gauranga Priya, just recently initiated by Radhanath Swami. I know them. And they have a beautiful house with 6 acres, a beautiful guest room, and it's somehow 2 minutes from there. So this will be my third class today. I'd like to continue that Ashvatthama next week. But I really haven't had time to really even look at it and prepare. So I'll just, and I may have to end a little bit early because I'm going to have to pack and then go to the retreat center and start, different activities there. But I think what I'd like to do today is I was speaking on the Kaliya Leela. So I've been getting deep into it, and maybe what I can do, today is just speak of some of the philosophical highlights of that story and at least go for 30 or 40 minutes. So there's many beautiful scenes, but I'll just speak some of the, I mean, even the theme, even Krishna when he gets on the Kaliya tree, and there's different commentaries because, when the poison came from the lake because the Kaliya serpent's in there. If you're near an ocean, it's humid. So the air carries the water, but this water was so poisoned from the poison that was coming from the snakes, and the water, Shrapyamana, was boiling, and birds were flying overhead and dropping dead, and there was no vegetation within kilometers of the lake. And it's sometimes they even say it was like they describe it as an ocean. It was so big at that particular time. When Krishna climbed up that tree was still alive. And it's very interesting. It's a very interesting point of why that tree was such alive. If some say that knowing that Garuda put some, it's the enemy of Kali, put a drop of nectar on it. But others say the tree had expectations that Krishna would climb on it. And the bliss and ecstasy inoculated the tree from poison. And that's really what Krishna consciousness is supposed to do, to inoculate you from the poison of material life. And we saw that also with the cowherd boys, who had apparently died. Some of them collapsed into the water of that poisonous water. And Krishna began to lament as part of his Leela. I always describe this, that God is the supreme enjoyer. And many types of pleasure require surprise. It's like a surprise party. So Krishna's own potency, he can be all-knowing and forgetful at the same time. And why can't God have multi-dimensions like that? So when he is forgetful, he actually laments. And because in this spiritual realm, the lamentation is not based on ego, it's based on love. It simultaneously is a component of the greatest pleasure. So Krishna's lamenting and he's crying naturally because he loves his friends more than their own life. It's not that when Krishna, I mentioned this many, many times, when Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and he's enjoying the love of his devotees, you enjoy love and relationship, which you means you love the other. So if Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme enjoyment is love, how much does Krishna love his devotees? And how much will they be affected? How much will they be affected when how much shall each be affected when something happens to the other? So Krishna began to cry. And that was his heart of compassion. And the tears came out of compassion. And he began to just lament and hug his friends. And they all simultaneously came to life by his compassion. So it's God's love that gives us life. It gave that tree life. It gave the cowherd boys life. It gives us life. And therefore, how important it is to come before the deity of Krishna in the mood of shelter and dependence, which is the basis of love. If we get a chance to go to a temple, we should go before the deities. And really beg for Krishna's compassion, beg for Krishna's glance, because only that inoculation of love, of heart, will give us life and enable us to actually live. Live within this world, this dukkhalayam, Alaya means the place, dukkha, the place of suffering. There's suffering in this world. As long as we want to be the controller and the enjoyer, to the extent we're attached to that, and we are, we suffer. Because the world doesn't go according to our way. And the nature of the world is pain is felt so much more intensely than happiness, sadness. So how to be inoculated from that? We have to get God's heart of love. It's just like a child. If he's showered with the appropriate affection when the child is young, when the child is sheltered with the appropriate affection, when he's young, it inoculates the child from a lot of suffering in the world, because he can draw on that affection and worthiness in their own life. And when one doesn't have that and doesn't find any other source for that, like a mentor, a relationship, or a good friend, or a family to compensate if one doesn't have that, and they don't have anything to draw on, they just fall into the abyss of lamentation, self-hate, and depression. So there's so much meaning in these pastimes. When I was giving class with Raghunath this morning, I really didn't know. You know, he gives a morning class at 5 a.m. It's a very good discipline. And I was shocked because you see on the Zoom, there's all these people, even local people that are up. They're up at 5 a.m. to listen to his class. And so I said with Raghunath before the class that we have to perform, you know, the right etiquette. We're going to share the class, but you know, as the teacher, one doesn't generally speak in front of his teacher unless he's, you know, gets, you know, blessings or asked. So anyway, so we were giving class together, and you know, he would read a verse and I would comment. There would be mutual comments, but I said, Raghunath, be yourself. And I joke because you can't help it anyway. And he's so funny. It's hilarious. I mean, it's really, it's hysterical. I mean, and I got to give credit. Can you imagine these people on the retreat? You look at some people. Who are they? Where are they coming from? And we start at 6, but this he's doing anyway. We said you can come if you want. And everybody was there at 5 in the morning. So, you know, it was very, Raghunath was funny, but it was appropriate. But what I said is, how many people were listening? So I described it as, because of his personality, his humor, et cetera, there's so many people there in an open-hearted mood. And then, you know, in that mood, then philosophy can go very deep. So that's what the Bhagavatam is. It's stories. It's joy. It's lila, which has an effect of inspiring you in love. But at the same time, it puts you in a condition whereby you can fit the philosophy in so deeply. So I really started to study this pastime again and explain it. And it's so much ras. But at the same time, it's such an opportunity to put the philosophy. And then Krishna climbs up on this tree and he's jumping down, and it's the Jamuna River. And the Jamuna River, it's actually, it's born from a mountain in the Himalayas named Kalindi. So the Jamuna River is called Kalindi. And what does Kalindi mean? Kalida. It means one who destroys Kali Yuga. The river Jamuna destroys Kali Yuga. Maybe also it's where the Kali serpent is killed. And when Krishna jumps down, I was reading a commentary this morning, it represents Avatar. He descends to purify Kali Yuga. He's purifying the Kali serpent. And then that vision of Krishna in the water as he manifests his Aishvarya Shakti, which means like it's the force when Krishna hits the river, it's like a mountain falling in. And then the disturbance of Kali. Very interesting, even very social points there. I was reading a fascinating point by a commentator that one should not punish an enemy unless it can be demonstrated that they do personal harm. So Krishna wanted to first demonstrate, before he killed this demon, he wanted to demonstrate in so many ways how evil he was for the public perception. Especially, you know, snakes in India are kind of worshipped. They're considered sacred. Even though Shastra says you can kill a snake. You can actually kill a snake. One time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was a Gaudiya Math, and there was some poisonous snake, and Bhakti Siddhanta said, kill it. And Prabhupada had a doubt, why was he killing this animal? And then it read in the Bhagavatam someplace that, you know, aggressors can be killed like snakes. And I remember I was staying out in the country in Bengal in this ashram. I was with another sannyasi from South America. He was a friend of mine. And we went early in the morning and there's outside bathrooms. And then I heard him screaming, Shastra, 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 Shastra. And I went over and he had killed a poisonous snake. He was a bit of a Sanskrit scholar. He didn't want to kill it, but he was saying, Shastra, Shastra, Shastra. And what to speak? Balaram didn't come to the water. Why didn't Balaram come to the water? Someone said, who's Balaram? Balaram manifests as Anantasesha. It was a huge serpent. Now Krishna's going to kill a serpent. So he demonstrated first by his friends going in the water and dying. Then he demonstrated why he went in the water swimming in that poison, but completely unaffected as an innocent child and as a guest. And an innocent child and a guest. And still Kaliya ferociously attacked Krishna. And so unintelligent, because look at Krishna, he's swimming in the poison unaffected. And so unintelligent because it's a child. So Krishna showed cause. Because citizens shouldn't live in fear. And if they see that people are punished without cause, they may live in fear. So Krishna wanted to demonstrate that this is not just whimsical. But look how cruel he was. And then I also like the scene of, you know, how Kali was disturbed. And really represent material consciousness. Controller, enjoyer. You want to enjoy sensual things. You want to enjoy ego. You have to have control over the environment. You don't have control over the environment. There's no material ego. And you don't enjoy, there's no material ego. So you have to demonstrate, I'm enjoying, I'm controlling. And that creates in a consciousness, a territorial consciousness. And territorial consciousness fortifies the ego. And therefore, in Indian culture, it's so important to keep and welcome guests in your home and to serve them, to show that you don't have this, to not develop this material consciousness. We were discussing in the Bhagavatam this morning, Kadarma Muni is approaching the Lord to fulfill his lusty desires after seeing the Lord perfectly. So this is very strange. So Prabhupada was explaining in the purport that you do this under the leadership of the Lord. In other words, enjoyment is there, but if it's under God's direction according to his laws, you're not enjoying as the goal of life. You're enjoying life as a means to realize the absolute truth and take what you need to be peaceful, to take what you need to be peaceful in this world. But the difficulty in an ashram, well, let's say Grihastha ashram, is if you start looking at your home as your eternal abode, and you start to look at your family as your material relationships and family as your eternal relationships. So you have a guest, you get a chance to look at your house as not yours. It's so healthy for the consciousness. In fact, I'm staying here in this house. I'm staying here in this house, and I thought they moved out of this beautiful room, but no, they kept the guest room. And they're so happy that I'm here. And they have one child, 3 years old. They're so happy I'm here. And I feel very grateful to them. But also, it's good for their consciousness. It's just a shift in consciousness from territorial consciousness, from self-centered consciousness. So God has a way of directing your enjoyment to, rather than having your enjoyment degrade you, having your enjoyment serve you. If you look at the residents of Vrindavan, when they see Krishna in the coils, what are they thinking? What are they thinking when they see Krishna in the coils of the serpent? What are they thinking? They're thinking, that he's more dear to them than my life. Usually a man takes a wife because he wants to enjoy his wife. And he looks at his wife as, I should enjoy my wife. But how do the residents of Vrindavan look at their wives, children, and everything? They value them because of their love to Krishna. They value their relationships because those people love Krishna. This is the whole Vrindavan. Even little babies, when Krishna, when the bad omens were, they said all the residents left Vrindavan as if they were animals. Animals means there's trouble and you just run. Human beings, there's trouble. You conference, you make plans, you analyze it, what to do. But no, they all ran. And even the children ran to the forest. They also loved Krishna too. So Kali is consciousness. And the poison, especially over where he was staying, was just bubbling. But it was territorial. And that consciousness causes conflict. If you don't put God in the center, there's no unity. You don't put your faith in the center, you put God in the center. Unless your faith is universal. Otherwise, you'll have more conflicts. So therefore, Kaliya is conflict. Because the world is shared. And if you want it only for yourself, you'll have to usurp the rights of others. And if they have the same mentality, there'll be fight. We're discussing this morning why the cow. Why the cow is so revered. Why do they worship the cow? Why does Krishna, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanitaya Cha, Jigaritaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha, why does Krishna worship the cow? He worships the cow because Krishna likes people who sacrifice for others. The cow sacrifices for others. The cow is mother. Mother means for others. Giving. Okay, I can go about 5 more minutes today, and then I'll have to do a few things, and then get from here where I am to the retreat center. And then there were bad omens in the village. Meteors from the sky, the ground trembling, the left side of men, the right side of women. And the cowherd boys wouldn't have become so distressed only that if there was one, but there were three. And not only there were three, but Balaram stayed home that day. So they had a little confidence in Balaram and his strength that he would protect Krishna. But now when they, and there's a science of omens. It's just like a light goes on in the engine, or a light goes on and the seatbelt's not on. So there's kind of like a mechanics to the world. When something is wrong, a light goes on. And specifically, I'm just telling you, I know I have this within myself between twitching on my left and right side, where I know specific things are coming, good or bad. It's 100%. It's 100%. And then when they left, the emotional state was so intense that they were crashing into trees, falling over themselves, crying, wailing. And what is Krishna? He's the supreme enjoyer. And what does he enjoy? He enjoys love. And part of exciting love to the height of rasa is drama. The spiritual world is drama for the purpose of love. And the nature of love is that it's enjoyed from both the perspective of being the object and subject of love. So Krishna is enjoying the love of the devotees, and the devotees are enjoying that love, even in this real intense suffering. I'm going to kind of end a little bit early today because of my schedule, but you know, people, I have my bad qualities, I have my good qualities, but one of my good qualities is that I'm steady. Monday morning greetings, Sunday morning sangha. I try to keep it up no matter what the circumstances. So I was happy that I had this facility during the retreat. It didn't conflict too much with my schedule. And I have a separate place and a separate facility. And next Monday morning greetings, it's going to be real interesting. It's going to be called cultural procreation. And it's kind of a catchy title to discuss. Cultural appropriation. And the basic theme is that the culture of India, specifically the bhakti tradition, that culture is from our Shastra Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pukasa, that it should be shared and emulated. It should be reproduced. I think you'll find that interesting, but I'm going to have to go now. But if anybody would like to say hello, it gives me the sense of the audience, and that's always nice for me.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for class.
Okay, Gail, thank you. Hi, Bo. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Rupa.
Sri Rupa, and who else was that after her? Janine?
Hare Krishna, Janine, yeah.
Okay, great. A few others?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Lee, you were on there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I saw the Zoom. Lee J. Thanks. Jacobs, yeah. Okay.
Very cool. Thank you.
It was hysterical, wasn't it?
Yeah, always.
Okay. Anybody else?
You kept them a little tame today.
That was tame?
Yeah.
Wow. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Shri Gadarvika.
Shri Gadarvika, Hare Krishna. Right. A few more people.
Hare Krishna, Gumaraj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopinath.
I'm waiting for the third voice, but I don't hear it. Oh, there she went camping.
She went camping, yes.
She went, okay, she gets a pass. Okay. When are they returning?
Today.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. All right, I'm going to shut off this and then take rest. Short nap before my class. Okay, Hare Krishna.